Okay, let's get started. Okay, good evening, everyone. Thanks again for joining. I know it's a momentous night, so it's good to be able to learn some Torah together. I'll try to keep this relatively short so everyone can go to their screens to see what's going on, or maybe you want to find out later. Who knows? This week is Parshat Vayera, and there are many references to the idea of chesed in this parsha. So one form of chesed that comes up a couple of times is hachnasas orchim, but right at the beginning of the parsha there's bikur cholim. So before I even go anywhere, I think the message of chesed obviously is a very important message, and the fact that it comes up so early in the Torah, comes up even earlier at points, but the fact that it's being emphasized with the avos just shows how important it is. Not dependent on Matan Torah, it's not dependent upon our having mitzvahs, but it's really important. In as much as today's election day, I thought I'd just share an idea. A friend of mine posted on Facebook that as a rabbi, he can't tell you what policies are necessarily good for the welfare of the country. He's not a policy expert, so he can't tell you what economic policies are the best or what medical policies are the best. But he said that we need to vote with the welfare of people in mind. So, and I'll just share what he wrote. He said, "Vote, and when you vote for feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, caring for the poor, protecting the earth, defending the stranger, the widow, and the orphan. Vote for protecting the state of Israel and for stopping the pandemic. Judaism's radical claim is that no matter what, this world can be improved. Make sure that when you vote for that tikkun." So I think it's a fairly bipartisan statement, but I think it really gets to the core of what we're trying to get at in this parsha, with aspects of chesed, although bikur cholim, hachnasas orchim aren't necessarily included in those particular things that he mentioned. But certainly, however we vote, hopefully our votes are l'shem shemayim, in order to make this world a better place. So that's just the thought that I would share right now. But if we get into the meat of the parsha, so right at the very beginning, first pasuk says, "Vayirai lav Hashem be'elonei Mamre." Hashem appeared to Avram at the, I don't know how to pronounce this word, Terebinth of Mamre. Behu yoshev petach ha'ohel kechom hayom. I just realized I wasn't recording. That's okay. And he was sitting at the entrance as the day grew hot. Okay, so Rashi famously tells us that Hashem appeared to Avram for what purpose? What was he doing? Why did Hashem all of a sudden show up to Avram's tent? It's not every day that, hopefully Hashem's in our homes all the time, but the idea that Hashem is actively present in a way that's not apparently so ordinary. So what's that doing here? So Rashi tells us, Levaker Tachol, he was doing this in order to visit the sick. And he quotes Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Yom Shlishi L'milato Hayah, Uva Kodesh Baruch Hu V'sha'al B'shlomo. So this was 3 days after Avram had a bris milah, and while we take it for granted that for a child, it sort of is what it is, but maybe for an adult that really incapacitates a person, puts them in a lot of pain. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to ask how he's doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and did bikur cholim. Okay, that seems to that's the famous Rashi at the very beginning of the parsha. And a question in general we could ask about bikur cholim is it a mitzvah? Clearly something Hashem does. Does that make it a mitzvah for all of us to do? So the three gemaras that might give us a little bit of a hint of what the Torah thinks of bikur cholim. So the same Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina is also a fairly famous saying of his. So this appears in the Gemara in Sota, Mai Dichtiv. What's the meaning of the verse? Acharei Hashem Elokecham Teilechu. You should walk after Hashem. V'chi afshar lo la'adam lehalech achar shechina. Is it possible for a person to walk after God? What does it mean to be anywhere in that vicinity? How are we walking near HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And doesn't the Torah tell us, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlahu? Hashem is an all-consuming fire. He's so powerful. It's just like the sun gives us a lot of benefit. You get too close, not only are you burned, but obviously, it could be miles and miles, hundreds of miles away. It could be lethal. So what does it mean that we're walking after Hashem? Ela lahalech achar midotav shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're supposed to go after his traits, after his attributes, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu's character, so to speak. So just as Hashem clothes the naked, you clothe the naked. We see that with Adam and Chava, that Hashem gave clothing to Adam and Chava once they realized that they were naked. And the next thing he mentions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be careful, Lim, Hashem visit the sick. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Bikur Cholim, you should also do Bikur Cholim. And Hashem also comforted the mourner, and Hashem also buried the dead. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's main attributes are those of Chesed, and we're supposed to emulate that, and these are a few different examples of that. Okay, so this is one hint in the Torah that there's an aspect of Bikur Cholim, that Hashem did it, and so you might say, okay, so Hashem did it, but what does that mean for me? But the fact that we're supposed to emulate Hashem's actions tells us that that it's important to do this as well. When the forms of Chesed Kadosh Baruch Hu does, we should do as well. There's a pasuk in Shmot, less obvious source, that says, "V'yizharta etem et hachukim v'etatorot." You're supposed to enjoy upon them the laws and the teachings. V'hodat alahem et haderech yelchuba. And make known to them the way they are to go, v'tamaseh asher yasun, the practices they're supposed to follow. Okay, so the path that they are supposed to go. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia, in the name of Yosef, breaks down this pasuk and says, v'odat alahem zeh beit chayehem, this refers to the structure of their livelihood, right, that people should learn trade. Et haderech zot milut chasadim. So where the pasuk says, et haderech, that's referring to doing chesed. And then yechlu ba refers to, or yechlu, I should say, refers to bikur cholim. Refers to bikur cholim. So the Gemara goes on to ask, well, isn't bikur cholim part of gemilut chesed? Why is there a specific mention of bikur cholim? So the Gemara goes on to tell us that that when you do bikur cholim, there's a chance you could be exposed to somebody's illness, which is something that we're very conscious of today, but maybe maybe we're not always thinking about it all the time. Every time you walk into the hospital, you could be exposed to something. So you might think that you shouldn't do it. So therefore, the Torah is telling us that you have to do Bikur Cholim. Okay, so that's a second source that there's a reference to Bikur Cholim in the Torah. And finally, there's a Gemara in Nedarim that says, Amarish Lakish, Remez Labikur Cholin Minatar Minayin. How do I find an allusion to the mitzvah of visiting the sick? Okay, so that's already an interesting way of saying it's a remez. It's a hint. It's not necessarily the actual source. So the Torah says, Shinamar, Im Kemot Kol Hadam Yimutun, Eluf Ufkudat Kol Hadam. So this is interesting related to Korach. So Moshe's threatening that that the people involved in the rebellion of Korach are going to die an unusual death. And he's saying that that you'll know that I'm not the real messenger, I'm not the real person that Hashem wants in power if these people die a common death and be visited after the visitation of all men. Meaning that it seems like that there was Bikur Cholim. Normally, if somebody's sick, there's Bikur Cholim. But in the case of the people involved in the rebellion of Korach, so there shouldn't be any Bikur Cholim, right? So my mashma, my rava, im kamo kol adam yutun eila, shehen cholim utalim barisatam v'nei adam v'akrin otam. If these people were just sick and confined to their beds and people came to visit them. Okay? So what that's telling us is that normally there's a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Case of the people involved in Korach's rebellion, is an example. Okay, so three different Gemaras that find at least an allusion to Bikur Cholim in the Torah. So is this a mitzvah or not? So the Sefer Mitzvah Sakatan, the Smak, it's authored by one of the Baalei Tosfot. So he just writes simply that the 47th mitzvah in the Torah, Levakir Cholim, to visit the sick, Dichtiv Valachta Bidrachav. So that's referring back particularly to the Gemara in Soto, that we're supposed to emulate Hashem's ways. But he just says very simply that Bikur Cholim is a mitzvah. And this is the approach of the Baal Halachos Gedolos, the Bahag as well. However, the Rambam writes that as he enumerates all the mitzvahs, he gives some general guidelines for how he does it. And one of the first foundations, Hashorish Harishon, She'en Ulim No Bichlal Hazeh, HaMitzvah She'en Mid Rabbanan, should not include rabbinic mitzvahs in the count of 613. So you might say, well, that's really, really obvious. Why would we include things that are more rabbinic in nature? But he says, there are many people who made mistakes, and they counted Hanukkah candles and reading Megillah and comforting the mourners and visiting the sick and bearing the dead. All those things were by certain people who tallied up the mitzvahs, they included all of those things. And the Rambam says that those are rabbinic mitzvahs, and therefore they do not count towards the 613. And in fact, the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, Mitzvah Aseh Shel Divrehem Levaker Cholim. It is a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah from the rabbis to visit the sick. And he lists a number types of chesed, comforting the mourner, attending a funeral, helping a bride get married, accompanying guests, all sorts of things. And he says each of these is gemilut chesed. This is kindness. But he says, Afa pi shekol mitzvot eilu midivreihem, harehem bichlav v'havdal reicha kamocha. So the Rambam admits that they're not totally, unlike other things where maybe they're rabbinic enactments that come on later and they're based on a particular need. So Rambam admits that these have foundation in the Torah from v'havdal reicha kamocha. They're supposed to love their neighbor as herself. And I think if there's anything we can all relate to when it comes to v'havdal reicha kamocha, if any of us were in these situations, right, if God forbid, we needed to be visited in the hospital, or if we needed to be comforted because we lost someone. So we know that we'd want somebody to do that to us. So these forms of basic chesed are part of Be'avta L'Reicha Kamocha, but these actual particular acts, you know, counting them as something you're obligated to do, so that's more rabbinic in nature. So the question he's asking on the Rambam is, Why does he come up with V'havdal reicha kamocha? Why does he quote the Gemaras? Or I could say it the other way. Why, if the Rambam's right that these are all part of V'havdal reicha kamocha, why didn't the Gemara say it this way? So Rav Asher Weiss, in his discussion of Bikur Cholim, as it pertains to Parshat Vayera, so he notes that the origin of all these particular acts is V'havdal reicha kamocha, but Chazal who gave them specific categories. So the Rambam is just, you know, factually correct that V'havdal reicha kamocha is a mandate to do chesed, but that doesn't make them obligations that are taken from the Torah. So for example, if I'm supposed to do chesed in general, but maybe, you know, if I happen to not do a particular act of bikur cholim, so it doesn't necessarily mean I've violated the Torah per se, but all these sorts of things, when we fulfill them, they are a fulfillment of V'havdal reicha kamocha. And when it comes to the different Gemaras that all seem to have allusions to Bikur Cholim in the Torah, so those are all what we call asmachta, that they're allusions. You can tease it out from the text, but for example, when Hashem visits Moshe, when Hashem visits Abraham after his bris milah, so that's obviously not telling you that there's a direct commandment to do Bikur Cholim. But that's just a way of learning out the mitzvah. So the essence of the mitzvah is from the Torah to do chesed, but the Torah does not command me to visit the sick per se. There's other ways to do chesed. They all count. Okay. So what is the essence of Bikur Cholim? When I'm doing Bikur Cholim, so what am I trying to accomplish? What does the mitzvah really entail? So the Torah writes, "U'mitzvah gedola hi levaker." So one reason why we visit the sick is that we daven for them, that we see them, and we'll see this spelled out, this has implications, but we see somebody in the hospital, so that can cause someone to really daven. It's one thing to hear about it, it's passive in your mind, but then you see the person and you're really part of the situation, so then you will daven for them. And then it's like you're reviving them. The Gam Mitoch Shereihu Me'ayen Be'Neinu, Imi tzarech l'shem davar, mishtadal bo, lem ziobo ve'ose shechabdu ve'yibatzu l'fanav. And then you also will take care of the needs of that particular person. Okay, so there seems to be a couple of things, davening for them and taking care of their needs. Okay, and also there's an element of also cheering them up, which is also important. Now, interestingly, the Beit Yosef writes that if somebody visits somebody and they don't daven for them, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah at all. Right? If you didn't ask for mercy for them, they haven't fulfilled the mitzvah at all. So why is it that seems there's a few aspects of Bikur Cholim, and at the end of the day, you know, I think people care that you took the time, you showed up, you cared. So maybe if you didn't take that additional step, why should that matter? So Rashi Weiss thinks that, yeah, it's just a way of defining the mitzvah, but it's not a halachic hindrance. It's not accurate that if you do go and visit somebody, so you've done some important aspects of Bikur Cholim, and davening for the person is part of that, but it's not preventative. Whereas the Chafetz Chaim said, you didn't fulfill kiddin, maybe you didn't fulfill the full mitzvah, but you did something positive by visiting that person. There's a discussion, I'm told it's found in the Beis Yosef, but the Ramah quotes it from the Maharil, who was one of the later Ashkenazi Rishonim. So he writes that Sone yachol levakir sono hachola, that if I have an enemy, I'm allowed to visit them while they're sick. Okay, so there could be two sides to this, right? On the one hand, you might think that, okay, that's very nice, that's very noble, you know, to try to reconcile, and that, you know, yeah, maybe you had some sort of falling out, but you really care about the person. But the Rama says, Veli nira de aser. No. Rama says that you shouldn't visit somebody who you have enmity with. So what's behind this dispute? Should you visit somebody who you have a bad relationship with, or should you not? So Rav Asher Weiss suggests that maybe it depends on what the purpose of Bikur Cholim is. If the purpose of Bikur Cholim is to daven for the person, if the purpose is to daven for the person, so okay, so it's very noble to daven for somebody who maybe you don't have a good relationship with, you had a falling out with, but still the right thing to do to daven. So maybe in which case the Ma'ariu will be right, they should visit. On the other hand, if the purpose of Bikur Cholim is to give a person joy and to cheer them up, to make them feel better, so maybe the Ramah's right. Maybe you're going to cause them extra distress by showing up and by doing that. So it could be that it's really, you know, neither of these, and, you know, maybe it's just a plain question of, you know, is this going to cheer the person up or is it not? Is it going to cause them more distress or not if you show up? In every case, might be different. But it is a fairly interesting implication of that. The question comes up, and we discussed this a couple weeks ago, different aspects of what B'nai Noach are required to do, maybe outside the seven conventional mitzvot B'nai Noach. So questions comes up, do non-Jews have a technical obligation? Do B'nai Noach have a technical obligation in Bikur Cholim? So there's a Gemara Nedarim that says that there was an incident where a student of Rabbi Akiva fell ill, and people, his peers, for whatever reason, had not gone to visit him. And then Rabbi Akiva went to visit him. And because he swept and cleaned up the room, so he recovered. Okay, so first of all, this gives you a window into the idea that that you know, sweeping, cleaning the floor, you know, taking care of the needs of the chola, apparently they had been neglected. Okay, so that's obviously an important aspect of the mitzvah is to visit the person to make sure to see what they need. You know, if they're living in a filthy environment, that's bad, and it's, you know, literally life saving. So this person says, "I'm a lay Rabbi Chitani, you revived me." So Yatzar Rabbi Akiva v'Darash. Rabbi Akiva went out and said, he taught, "Kol mi she'im levaker cholim ki'ilu shofech damim." Somebody who doesn't visit the ill, it's as though they are spilling blood. So that's a very, very strong statement. And in fact, that might indicate that non-Jews are obligated from the Torah, not just as a matter of manners and being a good person, but there's a real requirement for B'nai Noach to visit the sick, because because Bnei Noach are not allowed to commit murder. And if not visiting somebody is akin to murder, so maybe there's an obligation. It's not necessarily conclusive from the source, but it could be a possibility. But here we're also we're talking about literal literal life and death, that perhaps such a person really needs really needs people to come and attend to their needs. So that's one thing we can understand from this Gemara. There's two comments from Rabbeinu Bechaye that are interesting in this regard as well. First of all, when it comes to our parsha, another tie-in to this could be Stom, because we know that the Anshei Stom, Ra'im v'chata'im l'Hashem, that they were wicked and sinful to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Bechaye says that that most people, most people want to do tzedakah, but the people of Stom rejected tzedakah, despised tzedakah, didn't like it when other people did it, and they were very cruel in this regard. And even though, so if tzedakah is a mitzvah from the Torah, so what does it have to do with anything with Stom? But obviously tzedakah is something that's just, a logical mitzvah that everybody does because, the goodness of their heart. And it's an abominable thing to see somebody starving on the street and you aren't well off and you just kind of ignore them and you think you're fine for yourself and nobody takes care of them. So that's why Hashem destroyed Sodom, because they rejected and despised the mitzvah of tzedakah. And this could seem to apply to Bikur Cholim as well, that these kinds of things that are just basic acts of chesed, it's just a logical thing to do. Whether or not it's technically a mitzvah, not technically a mitzvah, but it seems like from this, Bnei Noach are obligated in that as well. Rabbeinu Bechaye further notes that these kinds of things are logical things that we do. He notes that when it comes to acts of chesed, that we don't make a bracha on it. So why don't we make a bracha on them? Because things that are just obvious for everybody to do, you don't make a bracha on. You don't say asher ki sham tzatav tzivan if it's something that any human being should do. So that would seem to apply to Bikur Cholim as well. So this could just be telling us that that non-Jews participate in Bikur Cholim, not that they're obligated to do it. It could be a little bit of an academic question, whether this applies min haTorah. But there's obviously an element that's something that we encourage in society that Bikur Cholim is not at all a Jewish value, but something that we encourage all of humanity to do, as everyone can figure out on their own. And the last thing I want to discuss regarding this mitzvah is, can Bikur Cholim be done over the telephone, or maybe nowadays over Zoom, over email? So that's a question that a couple of contemporary poskim dealt with, and it's an interesting question and especially relevant nowadays. So when Rav Moshe Feinstein dealt with it, he was asked the question, can one do this on the telephone? So he said, you've fulfilled something, but you haven't really fulfilled your obligation, because there are certain aspects of Bikur Cholim that you have to do in person, right? You have to take care of their needs. You have to cheer them up. You have to daven for them. And he says it's only somebody who doesn't have any other ability to fulfill the mitzvah should they do it over the phone. But otherwise, you're really missing a big part of it. You're not taking care of their needs. You're not really cheering them up in the same way. And he says specifically, if you hear about the person, so okay, so you made the phone call, it took a couple of minutes, you maybe heard a couple of words from the chola, but it's not the same as being in the hospital and then you really see what their situation is. So that could really change the way that you daven for them. So Moshe Feinstein is overall not a fan of doing Bikur Cholim over the phone, but maybe if you don't have any other choice, it's possible. It's Eliezer. In one place, it was recorded that he was okay with the bidyevid, but he seems a little bit more positive about it than Moshe Feinstein was. That he says nearly the yesh inyan shel yitzia yidei mitzvah. Maybe you really did do fulfill your obligation even through the phone. And even if you're not taking care of the person's needs, so we have hospitals for that. The hospitals, for the most part, are taking care of people's needs. So maybe, the benefit of doing Bikur Cholim is by cheering them up, by davening from them, and that you can also get out of having done this by asking them how they're doing, doing it over the phone. Rabbi Dr. Aaron Glatt has a sefer on Bikur Cholim. It's a beautiful sefer. It's actually worth it for anybody who does Bikur Cholim. It's a very good handy book to have. And it has a lot of very practical guidance as well as halachic and medical guidance. So he mentions this idea that going can sometimes be better. You also have to know when not to go. That's also, we didn't mention that. That's also part of the mitzvah, to know when not to go, when it's not going to be a benefit. And when it's not going to be a benefit or it's not possible, he said that for some people, even sending emails, right, just showing that you thought about them, that you care about them, can go a very long way. So there's certain aspects of Bikur Cholim that may be, really required to be done in person. And maybe in some cases it's preferable, but sometimes a phone call and an email, can be extremely beneficial. If it doesn't make sense either, for your own limitations or for the patient's limitations, to go do it in purpose. Rav Asher Weiss, takes a general opinion, as he writes, in his essay on this week's Parsha. So he writes, I think even stronger than Ramosha, that he doesn't think that you fulfill your obligation at all by doing Bikur Cholim over the phone. It's a chesed to call somebody or to send an email and ask somebody to do it, but the bit of Bikur Cholim is Bikur, that you have to visit the person, they have to go in person and visit. So that's his general point of view. However, he asks the question when it comes to coronavirus, what one should do. So he says that obviously visiting somebody who's sick with COVID during this time period, you obviously should not do. And he says that there's a Ramah that suggests that even diseases maybe that are infectious, that spread, so it doesn't seem like there's a distinction with Bikur Cholim. However, with something that's as dangerous as this, it's so easy to get contagious. It's so difficult to avoid contracting the disease. No, you shouldn't visit. There's no mitzvah. Should not do it. And a person might say, well, what if I sit socially distanced and wearing a mask or whatever? So he says, you really have to be really careful with this. And doing Bikur Cholim with a COVID patient is really not optimal. He says, especially now that we have technological means to Bikur Cholim, so that is definitely more optimal. And while admitting that in other contexts, meaning what I just quoted, he said that normally we don't fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim over technology. He says in this case, that's sufficient, and that is different. So that's a very interesting practical tshuva, especially because normally Rosh Weiss thinks that you shouldn't do, Bikur Cholim is over the phone is a chesed, but not Bikur Cholim. In this case, it's a little bit different. So just to conclude, there are just some aspects of Bikur Cholim. There's a little bit of machloket about whether it is a mitzvah. It seems fairly logical to say that there's no express command that you shall visit the sick, but no doubt that we are fulfilling some sort of chesed of doing of walking Kadosh Baruch Hu's path of doing v'havdal l'reacha kamocha, really some of the most noble things come out of doing the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. And I'll end where I began, that as we're thinking about the direction of our country, definitely think about chesed as something important, looking at other people charitably, and whatever happens tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next months, one thing that is definitely warranted for cheshbon hanefesh is to be able to put aside on those differences and to be chesed-minded people with everybody around us. And may everybody be well, be healthy, and be safe, and wishing everyone a good night.